Major bridge collapse in Baltimore. The bridge snapped and collapsed after a container ship rammed into it early around 1:30 this morning. Several vehicles fell into the river. Rescuers searching for those people now. The vessel hit one of the supports of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing the roadway to break in part. That bridge is a mile and a half long. That whole thing went right into the water.
It's all gone.
Immediately.
And the visual of it, the video, is just so shocking. And when something like that happens, like 9/11 or whatever, when it changes the landscape, it changes the way that city looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, and all the people, it's very sad.
It's, you know, no matter how many action movies you see, and you see all of
when
these.
When it really happens.
When it really happens, it's really shocking to watch.
Yeah.
Brian Foley is on the show now. And you've, well, we can't go through all of your various titles, but you've done water rescue, right, with the Hartford Police?
Sure. One of the things, I was a safe boating instructor for the state of Connecticut, commander of the Hartford Police Marine Division for years and years, and they had my lobster license in Long Island Sound, still do, and still have a boat down there. But looking at that video today, I thought what everyone thought. What a disaster. What and how does it happen? And let me just run through some things. First of all, they prepare and train for it down there. We do it here. We look at the Charter Oak Bridge. We look at all the bridges all around the state, the big ones going over the Connecticut River. You look at and you prepare and work with the Coast Guard and train for it. And it was never a cargo ship hitting it, but, you know, a terrorist attack where a bridge is taken out. How are we going to handle it? And so everyone's prepared. But down there, that's a working port. That is a federal waterway. It is tidal. You know, it's also a river. They have a harbor master. But make no mistake about it that the scene is the U.S. Coast Guard. That is their scene. That is their search and rescue. But they have a ton of assets down there. You have Navy, fire, police, and all of them have boats. All of them have dive teams, and the command will start working in different types of technology, you know, the side scan sonar and everything to see the bottom of the river. And the dive teams will coordinate, and they're making their own air for their own tanks down there and everything. And that's already there. I assure you all of that stuff is already happening. And you know, some things to think about are, you know, the investigation. How did it happen? The captain, I'm sure, is in custody already, federal custody, I would guess, and being interviewed by investigators. They'll look at, you know, was it an equipment failure? Is it GPS failure? Is it, you know, how do you not see that? You guys just sent a mile and a half, drive a mile and a half, and imagine that being entirely a bridge. That's a massive bridge. So what an absolute disaster.
He hit it dead on, too. Yeah. He didn't just, you know.
Yep.
Graze it.
Yep.
No,
you hit it dead on.
Full.
And, you know, if you're a ship captain, you're going to pay attention when you're leaving a harbor and coming in. Those are the only two times you really have to have it together.
Yeah, when it's like really wavy, that's about it.
Yeah.
So you're going to, I guess you're going to have some federal charges fairly quickly for the captain. But can you imagine now get up on top of the let's get on land, the traffic, and then rerouting an entire city. And the cops are going to have to reroute to other bridges. And you're just going to have some major traffic changes. But, you know, Baltimore PD, those are massive police departments down there, tons of federal agencies. You could throw a rock and hit D.C. Everything's down there. They're gonna start coordinating through it as daylight hits. I'm certain Coast Guard has air assets down there with certain thermal imaging, but really it's the side scan sonar. Divers getting in the water, and there's a current, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the cars will go, how many cars will go down, and it'll go a certain distance and depth.
What are the chances someone's still alive in one of those cars? 1:30 this morning.
You know, the way that bridge collapsed and all the debris that goes with it and everything else, not very good. That doesn't matter. You know, search and rescue, they're in the water and they're looking, period, end of discussion. They'll do it for, I'd say 12 to 18 hours. They'll call it a search, and then it'll become a recovery. You'll start looking for people, reporting people missing. You know, hey, you know, this person was driving into work, didn't show up, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know if anyone was injured on the boat. I can't imagine that they were, looking at the size of that ship. But that's how they'll do it. So police departments all in the area are waiting for the phone call where, hey, someone didn't show up, or I'm worried that this person didn't come in. And there'll be a ton of them for anyone who's late and such. You have to deal with that. But then that gives them an idea what they're looking for. The cars are not going far. The cars are going to go, you know, there will be some air, but, you know, they're not going to go, I don't think, miles down, so they should be able to find those. The side-scan sonar technology that the Coast Guard will have, they'll be able to pick up a car in the water pretty good. I mean, the debris around right at the bridge is going to be, you know, that's going to be difficult to work through, and they're just going to have pattern dive search down there and just work teams and teams and teams of divers. I don't know what the visibility in that water is. Typically, in rivers, the visibility is a couple of feet at best. So it's going to be a challenging dive.
It's horrifying.
Can you imagine really if that was during drive time?
Yeah I know.
Oh my God. As bad as this is,
it
would have been 100 times worse.
Yes, very much
worse.
Just
a bridge full of cars.
Yep.
Well, he was talking about traffic problems today, tomorrow. I mean, this is months. This is years before this is all figured out, this bridge is rebuilt.
Right.
I mean,
and you got a working
sad.
Port that's now shut down.
Right.
And, you know, you have cargo and shipping and everything else and a lot of critical infrastructure that moves in and out of that waterway that they're going to have to now navigate around.
There was a construction crew on the bridge, I believe.
Yeah, we heard that this morning.
Yeah. So there was a lane closed and there was a construction crew. Ugh.
But two people have been rescued from the water. I don't know if it was that construction crew because they were on foot. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, whereabouts they were on the bridge at the time.
Right.
That's my worst nightmare because, one, I hate heights.
Yeah.
And two, being in a car in the water.
I'm with you. Yep.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Everybody's nightmare.
And the water temperature is not overly survivable either.
Yeah, 41 now, they're saying.
Ugh.
Wow.
All right, Brian Foley, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
Bye, Brian. Right.
Later.
Pete, how do I pronounce your last name? Arborio?
Arborio.
Arborio.
Arborio. Arborio. Gotcha.
He's president of Arborio Corporation. You guys build bridges?
Yes. Yeah, we build and repair bridges.
How long do you think? First, can you tell us about that bridge?
Well, the structure itself was a through truss, the through portion refers to where the traffic travels in relationship to the structure. It goes through the structural elements. And the truss portion is it's built up of a lot of little pieces that are in both. Some of them are in tension, some of them are in compression. When you remove a support, some of those loads get reversed. And that's why you see the type of failure that you've seen today. It dropped vertically a certain distance, and then as the stress is reversed, the structure began into a progressive collapse.
It went down fast.
Yes. Yeah.
The whole thing.
Really, you got something that was resting at four places, and you took out one major support there in the central span, and they're not going to stand for very long. It's going to go down quick.
After the rescue, recovery, and the salvage, the pulling of the metal out of the water,
clearing it.
How long do you think it takes to rebuild that? What do you think happens next? Temporary bridge?
Last time you asked me that question, I was kind of surprised because they actually filled in the span and drove over it. This one, I think it's going to require a full replacement. A similar situation occurred down in Florida and Tampa in the early 80s. The Sunshine Skyway Bridge was struck in a similar fashion, and it took years to replace it.
Wow.
You're going to have to redesign it, and you're going to have to rebuild it. And again, I've been surprised before, but this one is going to be years.
Right. Now, when we do a bridge here in Connecticut, we're keeping all the lanes of traffic going, so it takes a lot longer. If you're talking about a bridge that isn't even there,
gone,
it's a little bit faster, right?
Yes, it is, because you don't have to try to maintain traffic and keep things flowing through you. It kind of points out a lack of redundancy in our transportation system when you lose a structure like this, and now it's going to telegraph right through the interstate system. It's going to throw traffic over. Fortunately, they have, I believe, two other crossings of the harbor down there. But again, nothing of this size or in that location. It's a mess.
To me, or does a mile and a half seem like a really long bridge? Is that like one of the longest bridges in the United States?
It depends on how you define the length. That length of the structure may be from where it leaves the shore to where it touches the shore again on the other side, and you have multiple spans. That mile and a half doesn't seem that large to me when you define it in the sense from shore to shore. We have a similar structure here in Connecticut, the Gold Star Memorial Bridge down in New London.
Yeah.
That is also a truss, but it's not a through truss. If I had a guess, I'd say that might be in the mile length.
Really?
In that range.
I don't like being on that bridge.
Yeah, I go fast.
Beginning to the end.
Not a big height fan.
I floor it. I'm like, yes.
Well, there was that fire on that bridge last year. Wasn't that the bridge with the big fire last year?
Yeah, with the truck? The oil truck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you surprised structurally that the bridge went down the way that it did? I mean, almost like kind of like dominoes. Are they built to
not
take an impact, or is this what's bound to happen?
Not from the way that it was struck. I mean, it took out a major portion of it there, and it came down.
Yeah.
Major support, really, like I said, it's got four places that it was supported, and that ship hit one of the major supports there and took it right out. There was a surprising one in Ohio where there was a traffic accident on a truss bridge. Very little structural redundancy, and it took out one member of the truss, again, reversed the loadings in the whole truss. The entire bridge came down from a collision with a trailer truck on the bridge.
Wow.
So some of these older ones are kind of fragile. This one, not particularly fragile. It was built in the 70s, and fairly robust structure, I would assume. It's just amazing how quickly it came down.
Yeah.
But again, when you consider the mass of what struck the pier, really there's not much you can do to protect it.
You don't really get how big that cargo ship is until you look at the Coast Guard boats near it.
Yeah.
They're just little tiny, tiny specks.
Yeah.
Unbelievable how massive that ship is.
And that is a very tall bridge. I've been on it. Very, very tall. You look down, it's like, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, very high.
Yeah.
It makes it even scarier. Yeah. Ashley Baylor is texting me saying the Chesapeake Bay Bridge is over 17 miles of bridge and tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
17 miles.
Yeah, it goes up and down. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you've got two traffic situations here to deal with. You've got the traffic situations like we think about it with cars and trucks and so forth. Your previous caller pointed out right now that has shut down the Port of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. That has taken out any shipping that's coming and going through there. Any kind of oil tankers, any kind of freight, everything is just shut right down. Additionally, it has interrupted air traffic. There is a temporary flight restriction from the ground up to 2,000 feet above and for basically a 5-mile radius around the accident scene. So it's affected air traffic also.
Would a tunnel be a better idea for that to replace rather than having another bridge?
I would never go in that tunnel.
I mean, see what happened would a tunnel be a better solution?
No.
Well, if you're not going to go over a bridge and you're not going to go through a tunnel,
what are you going to do?
You want to go cross that in a rowboat?
Hit a ramp like Evel Knievel. Yeah.
I know.
Right. Speed up now.
Well, thankfully, we have smart people like you who build these bridges for us.
Yes.
So we don't have to think about it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Peter Arborio, president of Arborio Corporation. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.